We are glad that everybody is here that's here tonight and appreciate that. I have no more announcements to make. Does anybody else have any kind of announcement they ought to make? I usually call on pastor to see if he has anything. Chelsea just scratched. Okay. Psalm 3, if you will, please. While you're finding that, remember last week. Last week I began to deal with Psalm 3, but I gave background to it. You would have to read, and if you haven't, I encourage you to do so, 2 Samuel chapters 13 through and including 19. Those seven chapters give you the historical context to Psalm 3. In your Bible, you will see underneath where it says Psalm 3, it says a Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. You see, Absalom was the third son of David, and Absalom had a sister named Tamar. And Absalom was a very good-looking man. And his sister Tamar was a good-looking woman. And they had a half-brother named Amnon. And Amnon had an eye on Tamar. And rather than ask their father David if he could have Amnon, or if he could have Tamar as his wife, he just merely sexually assaulted her. This really got Absalom upset, understandably so. The problem wasn't that he was upset. The problem was that he decided how he was going to rectify matters, which was to cause death. Amnon killed. Well, this, of course, put him on the outs with their father. And so for 3 years, he was in exile. Then he came and he spoke with his dad. And then after that, he had 2 years of banishment from the royal court. And after that, he was back in. And so Absalom was not a very nice man. Besides taking things into his own hands to bring about vengeance for his sister Tamar's rape, he set about to steal the kingdom and the kingship from his father David. And you would have to read 2 Samuel chapters 13 through 19 to get an understanding of how he went about to do this. But nevertheless, in the process, rather than fight his son, because David was the superior warrior, and he would have ended up causing the death of his son, and this he did not want to do. As a matter of fact, he told his soldiers that they weren't supposed to harm him. David's chief man, Joab, decided that Absalom needed to pay for the insurrection against David. And when Absalom's head got caught in the crook of a tree, now most say it was his hair, and up until I read 2 Samuel 13 through 19 in preparation for last week, that's what I thought. But when you read it, it doesn't say anywhere, nor does it infer in any manner that it was his hair. And it was his head that got caught, okay? And the mule he was riding, he kept going. And so there he hung. And when he was discovered, it was reported to Joab. Joab said to the man who reported it, "Did you kill him?" He said, "No, I heard what David said." So Joab, he takes it into his own hands And the end result is that Absalom is killed. Now David did mourn and mourn and mourn about it. Understandably so, it was his son. And even though he had done what he had done in the original rape and then the subsequent trying to take the kingdom, he was his son and he mourned him. And then finally, Joab comes into David, and this is the Hain paraphrase. Joab says to David, "You've shamed the whole of the people. You're their king. They are faithful to serve you. They went to battle many a time for you. And now here it is, the man who was going to take your kingdom. You're just so down about it. It's time." And I told you this was a Hain paraphrase. "It's time to get hold of yourself, deal with this, and get about being the king." Now, you can read that in 2 Samuel chapter 13 through 19. More toward, I think it's probably in chapter 19. And so David does. David realizes that what Joab is saying is true. And so he gets hold of himself. He deals with it and he gets back to being the king. Now, Psalm 3 was written when David fled from Absalom. Absalom's still living, okay, still in insurrection, and David, rather than deal with his son, he flees. In verse 1 and 2, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me." Of course, many people had begun to follow Absalom, and he curried their favor, and they indeed ate it up because he said everything they wanted to hear. Not what they needed to hear, but that what they wanted to hear. Huh. Yeah, sounds like Absalom was being political, huh? Saying what people wanted to hear, not what they needed to hear. Does that sound familiar? Uh-huh, yeah. This isn't anything new. "And many there be," verse 2, "many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God." There were so many people that became influenced by what they saw in Absalom and the people that were following Absalom, that they began to turn on David and they began to say, "There's no hope for him. There's no help for him. God can't even help him." Now, let's go to verse 2, or verse 3. "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me." This is David. He says, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head." It's, you know, our strength is in God. And that's exactly what David says here, that God was his shield. And now he says, "My glory is from God." And, you know, God is our glory. And he is the defense for the defenseless. He is the honor of the despised ones, and he is the joy for the brokenhearted ones. If you'll look at Jeremiah chapter 9, the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, and chapter 9, in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, Jeremiah 9, 23, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me," that's God, "that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Verse 3 of Psalm 3, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Lord, thou art my glory And you're the one who's going to lift me up. Thou liftest up mine head. Indeed, God is who David was looking to. He cried to God. Verse 4, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Now that's interesting, because his accusers in verse 2 said there is no help for him in God. I mean, David is so far down. Absalom has such a population swell. Why, he must be at least 9 points ahead of King David in the polls. Even God can't help him. Even God can't help him. You listening between the lines? Even God can't help him. And then verse 4, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and the Lord heard me out of his holy hill. His holy hill would have been Zion, would have been in Jerusalem. Okay, where the tabernacle was, where the temple was. Well, at this time, it's still just a tabernacle. Okay, Solomon built a temple. And so God hears. Others said God can't even help him. God won't even hear him. But David had his trust and confidence in God. And he didn't cry to man. He went to God. It's important that when we have a problem of some sort, that we not whine to others about it, or that we not appeal to others for their infinite wisdom, okay? But that we go to God. That we go to God. Now, that doesn't mean we can't seek counsel. It doesn't mean that we can't bear each other's burdens, but we cry to God. And that's important that we cry out to God, for God is the one who we need to go to, and God is the one who we need to be heard by. Thou art, in verse 3, a shield for me. Get our protection from God. Now, we need to depend on God, but we need also to be sure that we don't say we are, well, I'm depending on God, but then really go about looking for help elsewhere.
Yes.
Okay? If we say we're depending on God, then we don't need to whine to others. We don't need to complain to others. We don't need to keep looking for somebody that might have the thing to say that we want to hear.
Right.
Okay? Now, like I say, it's okay to seek counsel. It's okay to console, go to somebody and get them, you know, their help in consoling you. That's okay. But you know there's a fine line when we say something and when we mean something. You say, well, how do I know it? How do I know if I'm on the right side of that fine line? What's your history? What's your history? Is it to say one thing but live another way? Is it to say one thing but act a different way? Or is it to follow through with what you say when you say, I'm looking to God to give me the answer? And then not to be impatient. Now, this is the real test for all of us. Because I have no trouble praying to God. I have no trouble looking to God for an answer. It's just if he doesn't bring it in the amount of time that I'd like it. Okay, that's when we have to watch out that we don't depend and start going to somebody else and saying, well, how what would you do? How would you handle this? What was your experience? You see? And it's a fine line. But usually we know when we've crossed that line. It's just that we're really good at fooling ourselves, or at least we think we are. Okay? Now, you see, in Psalm 3, verse 1, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Frequently, when you read the Psalms, David's problem was with a person, somebody who was opposing him. In this case, Absalom, who was trying to steal his kingdom. When people are having trouble, one of the places I encourage them to turn to and read is the book of Psalms. And I point out to them, now, David dealt with enemies that were people. In your case, ma'am, sir, your enemy is a condition. Maybe it's finances, okay? Maybe it's a job situation. Maybe it's car issues. Trouble with cars, they can be trouble, can't they? Sure they can. And so there's a condition. So when you go to Psalms and you read, Lord, how is this thing, it's gonna nickel and dime me to death? You see, it's not a person, it's my automobile issue. How is this thing increased? It troubles me. Okay, you see how you can read the Psalms, and what you're doing is you're personalizing it to what your condition is, to what your need is, since it's not another person. And it's an issue that has become the enemy, as it were, of your life, of your soul. And so you can read the Psalms in that manner. But we need to depend on God and trust in Him. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. He's one that protects him. You say, Absalom and his men were coming against him, but God was the shield. Boy, and if you got God as a shield, nobody's going to get through, are they? Huh? We know he's going to protect. My glory and my lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me. In verse 2, they said, God can't even help him. God won't listen to him. But David says, he heard me, and he heard me out of his holy hill, out of the tabernacle. Oh, yes, indeed, his holy hill, and it's the tabernacle. Psalm 2, you're in Psalm 3. Look at Psalm 2, verse 6. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. That's how we know the holy hill was Zion, was Jerusalem, where the tabernacle was. Okay? And in the tabernacle, what was in the tabernacle that was of significance? The Ark of the Covenant. The earthly place where God would dwell and meet with his people. And God heard him out of the holy hill. And boy, that tell you, that made something happen. Now look, David is in Mount Olivet at this point, okay? He's in Mount Olivet. You would find that out by turning, I wrote that down somewhere. Where did I turn that? Where you would turn for that? Well, I thought I had it written down someplace. I know I did. It's probably on a note laying on my desk. But it's in 2 Samuel, okay, in one of them chapters where it points out that David is in the Mount of Olives. Now, oh, here it is. Right where I'm supposed to be at. 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 30 is where you'll find that tells you that he's at the Mount of Olives. Now, David wasn't on the Mount of Olives pacing back and forth. When David prayed and went to God, then he left it there. Now, David had gone through enough of life's experiences to see God work. That's one of the marvelous things with the Psalms. You read a psalm, and David is so much like us. You read a psalm, and the psalms, and frequently, the psalm starts out, oh, God, what am I going to do? Oh, Lord, my enemies, there's so many of them. Man, they accuse me of this and that, and they say you won't even hear me. But then there's a turning point in the psalm. We're at the turning point, okay? Because He knows from experience, God does hear. So what I'm saying is when you have a problem and you go to God and you're pouring out your heart to God and you're belaboring the problem that you have and you're not whining to God, but you're just unburdening yourself to God. Listen, better to cry on God's shoulder than on another person's shoulder. Because when you're done crying on somebody else's shoulder, you know what? You're going to turn and walk away, or they're going to turn and walk away, and you're still going to have the burden. But if you cry on God's shoulder, then God begins to work. Okay, and then in these Psalms, you can see the turning point. And then God ends up saying, but the Lord is my glory, and God is my deliverer. And I remember how God did help me in the past. That's how the Psalms go. Here you see it again. In verse 5, he says, I laid me down and slept. Verse 4, he says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, and I was able to just lay down and sleep. There's a testimony to God.
Yes,
he didn't lay awake and worry about the problem.
Yes.
He gave it to God, and he says, I laid me down and slept. He wasn't pacing back and forth on the Mount of Olives. What am I going to do? What if this happens? What if that happens? Now, you know I've told you already, I'm a plan A, B, C person. Okay? When I got a situation that I'm facing, I like plan A to handle it. And then just in case that doesn't work, I'll come up with a plan B. All right? That way I have a backup. And then, you know, sometimes even the backup doesn't work, so I ought to have a plan C. David didn't worry about three plans. He only had one plan. He was just going to give it to God. And then he laid down and went to sleep. All right, look at that. I laid me down and slept. And then he woke up. He said, I awaked. That means he slept. Okay? That means he actually slept. Now listen, that's important. And those of you who have a problem and you pray to God about it, you lay down and you can't sleep. That's not what David's experience was.
Yes, sir.
He laid down and he slept. For the Lord, what does it say? What did he do? The Lord, tell me.
Sustained
me. The Lord's the one who helped him sleep. The Lord's the one who was going to take care of this problem. And the Lord sustained me. You say, well, that was David. This is me. I'm an ordinary person. David wasn't an ordinary person. You know, sometimes we tend to remember what we want to remember about someone.
Yes.
David himself wasn't such a... Now, he was called a man after God's own heart, okay? And we know how God used David. But do you remember reading? David had some pretty rotten experiences in his life. David made some pretty dumb choices and decisions in his life. David wasn't that superhero that you think you're not. You see, well, I understand why David could lay down and go to sleep and not worry about it, but I'm just an ordinary person. You think David didn't have some reason to lay awake and worry about this? He had as much reason to lay awake and worry about it as you lay awake and worry about your problems, or I lay awake and worry about mine.
Sure. Yes, sir.
But he said, I woke up, for the Lord sustained me. Now look at verse 6. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. Doesn't matter how many people are following Absalom. Doesn't matter how many soldiers Absalom has that have set themselves against me round about. No matter which way I turn, it seems they're there. He says, the Lord sustained me. God helped me. Now, I'll tell you, that's something worth thinking about. Isn't that a great confidence to have in God? And we can have that confidence in God. That doesn't mean the burden won't be there. That doesn't mean when we pillow our head that we're happy-go-lucky and we're going to fall asleep with a smile on our face. Yeah. No, I don't think it's telling us that. But it is telling us God will take care of you and me the same as he took care of David. Verse 7, David goes on and he says, because not only is there marvelous mercy, when we're faithless, he's faithful. When we're tired, he's tiredless. There's a song, the title of which, He Giveth More Grace. About, Pat began to feel dizzy about 5 or 6, about 10 of 6, I found that in one of our favorites, gospel song books. It's a whole series called Favorites. And we found it, I think she has 9 or 10 of them, and I looked and it was in the last one, okay? And I found it, I said, I got it! Because I'd ask her, would you sing it? And she said, well, I don't know, I'm feeling dizzy. And that's, you know, when things went downhill. But He giveth more grace. I'll have to have her sing it maybe next week, okay, even though the series will be done. He giveth more grace. When we have reached the end of our exhausted resources, His giving is only just begun.
Yes.
He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. And like I say, I'll have her sing it. It would, of course, have fit beautiful. And the first thing she said when I said, well, maybe you probably ought to stay home, she said, but then I won't be able to sing that song for you. And I said, well, no, not really, not that we'll hear it, you know. Hey, Pat, set up for live streaming at home. You have Facebook. And, she'll need my help to do that. And so, wouldn't that be something if she'd set up Facebook and live stream to us to hear that song? I can't go there, okay? I'm not technical enough to figure that out. Hence we sang the song, Grace Greater Than Our Sins. God gives grace. And it is greater than our troubles. Oh, I know when we're going through the troubles, it doesn't seem that way. And even though David was able to lay down and go to sleep, that doesn't mean he didn't have a heavy heart. That doesn't mean that he wasn't concerned about what was happening. It just means that he was going to depend upon God to get him through that. You see, we say trust in God. The Old Testament word is trust. The New Testament word is faith. And both of them mean to depend on. If you trust something, you depend on it. Common illustration is when you come in and you sit down in the pew, you're trusting it. I've never seen somebody come in and get on their hands and knees and look and see if the supports are underneath. I've never seen them grab the pew end and shake it, you know, or just, you know, lower themselves onto the pew, you know. They just trusted it. They just, depended on it to work. That's what faith is. We depend on the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary to pay the price for our sin. That's for salvation. But then we continue to live by faith. We continue to depend on Christ, the one who saved us, to help us in our daily living. Grace greater than our sins, because we depend on Jesus Christ. The last two verses, 7. Arise, O Lord, save me. Now you see, he laid down and slept, but he still has the problem. So just because you're depending on God doesn't mean it's going to eliminate the problem. He says, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. That upon the cheekbone is a sign of special power over someone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. God's a fighter. Okay? Now, if you're in a fight with someone, okay? Now, I was never a fighter. I was a lover, okay? And you know how it goes? You know, you're the fighter or lover. I chose loving part. It was a lot easier than fighting. Now, Dale here, he's a lover now, but he once was a fighter. I remember how our Dale, the one who God's grace has delivered from his past. I remember when he said how he'd be sitting on his porch in Buffalo. Now, this is when the porch is right at the sidewalk, okay? Somebody come walking down through, and if he didn't like the way they looked, and I don't know if he said something to them or they said something to him, all I know is he was off of the porch and at it with them, okay? That's why he had on his knuckles tattooed hate, because that described his life. But he replaced that word hate with
hope.
Hope, okay? He was able to leave the H, he was able to turn the A into an O, the T became a P, and the E stayed there.
Yes, sir.
Okay? That's what deliverance will do for you.
Yes.
See, I was a lover. Actually, I was a runner, okay? If there was a fight to be had, I'd run, you know? But David, or Dale, he'd stand up and fight. God's a fighter.
Yes, sir.
Broke their cheekbone, lost some of their teeth. You know? And I've never been in a fight like that, but I've heard of people that have been in fights, and until they're done, they're literally spitting their teeth out.
Yeah.
Now listen, if you don't have that kind of experience, you thank God for it. Okay, thank God for it. You know, there was a time when I'd hear people's testimonies and how they, James DeVos, I think it was DeVos, the wiretapper is what he called himself. And he worked for the mafia, and he got saved and he got delivered. And he would tell how you know, he needed God's help in order to get out of the old way and the old life, and God gave it to him, and just like he gave our brother Dale deliverance from the old life, and we need that. And he says, thou hast delivered me, thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Now, that's not talking about eternal life there. When it says salvation, it's talking about being delivered. Even though there were thousands of people coming against David through his worthless son, Absalom, okay, and the insurrection that was taking place, he had the salvation, the deliverance of the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Now, I know when you're going through a problem, I understand this personally, when you're going through a problem, it doesn't seem like such a blessing, okay? Thy blessing is upon thy people. In the time of being in the midst of the problem, you can't see the blessing. You can't feel the blessing, okay, for certain. But listen, are you God's child? Do you believe God loves you? If he loves you, won't he take care of you? Of course he will. Now, you know, it's one thing to know it here, and it's another one to feel it here. Okay? I know we live by faith, not by feelings, but our faith produces some feelings. And that one of that feelings is confidence. Another one of the feelings is certainty. Another one of the feelings it produces is the satisfaction.
Yes.
Another feeling it produces is awareness. So many things that we want and we look for, God will give them to us. Okay? Now, and so we have this urgent appeal that David makes, and he says, salvation belongs to the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. And indeed, we know that to be true in David's life and in our life. I trust this has been some help to you, and that God will use it to be an encouragement to you the next time you're dealing with a burden, or if you continue with the burden that you're dealing with.
Yes.
Father in heaven, thank you for love and grace and goodness. Now, Lord, be with us as we continue our prayer portion.